My name is Milt Loring. I'm an alcoholic. Can we start with a prayer? God, open our minds, open our hearts, and open our souls so that we might see what you have for us today and we might pass that on to others. Amen. We've got to have a couple of ground rules. It's got to be ground rules. First thing is, I ain't no expert. I ain't to be quoted. We're going to go through this together. It's a dumb guy approach, simple directions. That's all we're going to try to stay with is the directions to a simple program of Alcoholics Anonymous. If I miss a direction, I'm open to be told. You're not going to hurt my feelings by saying, hey, you missed that. Or, hey, that ain't what it says. I'm always open to that. This is not authority here, okay? If you're going to quote anything, quote the big book, because we are going to stay right with the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous to the best that we can. There are 1,001 ways to stay sober. 1,001 ways. We're just going to use this way. This way right here. And we're going to use the book as we go along. So if you're going to come to a big book study, bringing a big book is like a good idea. But since we're not really doing a big book study, we're just doing the 12 steps, bringing a big book is a good idea. We got any questions? Questions are a good thing. We're going to be asked 10,000 times before the next 2 days are over. Are there any questions? Because if you walk out of here without knowing what's going on, what good is that? What good is that? Any questions from the beginning? Any questions? Now, we're only questions about the topic in front of us. Okay? The questions are ground rules. That's where we're at. Questions. Any questions on the ground rules? Any? What? No questions. Okay. Now, let's open up our book to page 58. Now, if I was your sponsor, if you want to use that term, if I was working with you, if you were to come to me, what did you say your name was?
Morgan.
If Morgan was to come to me and say, would you be my sponsor? Would you help me? The fat chance. The first thing I would say to Morgan is, here, Morgan, here's the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Read the first 103 pages. The directions for the 12 steps are in the first 103 pages. I advise everybody in this room to read the big book thoroughly and over and many times. I advise you to read the first 164 pages because it's priceless, and the stories afterwards, it's absolutely priceless. But the directions for the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are in the first 103. And any necessary reading. Does that make sense? Okay. So what's the difference to the wives if you ain't worked the steps? Because to the wives is to who? That's all. What's the difference if you read to the employers if you haven't worked the steps? Because who is to the employer written to? That's it. We're catching on quick here, ain't we? We're doing good. So the directions, for I would say to Morgan, read the first 103 pages. Morgan's response would be?
Sure.
Fat chance. Well, why would you have me do that? That's a normal question.
Right.
Let's go to page 96. My job as a sponsor, my job as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous who's worked the steps, page 96, you with me? Second paragraph down. Suppose, you with me? Got it? Suppose now you're making your second visit to Morgan. Right? What was my first directions to Morgan? You got that? Read 100 pages, Morgan. Morgan said, I can do that. My second visit to Morgan now, right? He called me the next day, said, okay, I did 103 pages. Because you're a bright guy, right? You're a bright guy. You're not a, right? Huh? Fat chance, see? Making our second visit to Morgan, he has read this volume. What does that mean? That's all. That's right. He's read it. He's read it. Because that's what I asked him to do. And in my second visit, according to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, he says he has read this volume and what? Now that doesn't say anything at all about meetings, does it? That doesn't say anything at all about trash detail, garbage cans, coffee cups, don't have no relationship. That doesn't say anything about 90 meetings in 90 days. What does it say? Well, what if Morgan is only sober a week? Can he be prepared to go through the 12 steps?
Yeah.
Hell yeah! And he should be prepared to go through the 12 steps if he's sober a week. He should be. The program of recovery, the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience myself, experience of what? Wait a minute, let me see if I got this right. If I worked the 12 steps in my first 28 days of sobriety, how long is it here, 10 days? If I've worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in 10 days, that means I can sponsor Morgan? Having had the experience myself, having had the experience of what? Well, then I went through them in 10 days. He's sober 3 days. He wants to go through them. Can I direct him through these 12 steps? You better believe it. I can give Morgan what? Oh, man, read the book. Much practical advice. That's exactly right. Much practical advice about the 12 steps. Let him know that I am available if he wishes to make a decision. What step is that? Simple as that. And to tell his story. What step is that? It's as simple as that. That my responsibility to Morgan is to take him and give him much practical advice about what? 12 steps, and to be available to do a third step and a fifth step with them, because that's where you need somebody. And in the third step, they say, maybe you don't want nobody. But know that I'm available, but by no means, I should not insist if he prefers to consult someone else. Now do you see why I have done what I have done? Now do you see your job as a sponsor? Do you see the directions I'm still going to give Morgan? Make sense? Nothing to do with me, is it? Just following directions, ain't it? Yes? No? Maybe?
Yes.
Any questions? You brought a big book. He's ready. All right. Let's go back to 58. Now, Morgan has read the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes? Okay. Second paragraph down. Our stories are disclosed in a general way, what we used to be like, what happened to what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have, who is making that decision? You are. Or the person you're sponsoring. Morgan, have you read this book? Have you decided you want what we have?
Yeah.
Whose decision is it? So when should Morgan start working the steps? When he has what? When he has made the decision that he wants what we have. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If he's sober 3 days and he wants what we have, should I tell him, oh no, no, you got to wait till I say you're ready. How do we know that? We just read it. We just read it. If you have decided you want what we have, now here's the trick question. How is he going to know what we have? He's read the pages. Morgan, you are sharp. I take everything back I've said about you. He's sharp as a tack. He's read the pages. He knows exactly what we have. And that's the only real way to know what we have. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, are you ready to go to any lengths to get it? Whose decision is it? It's your decision. It's the guy you're sponsoring's decision. It's nothing more difficult than that. That's as simple as it is. You want what we got? Yeah. How do you know what we got? Well, I seen so-and-so in the meeting. That's good, but this is what we got. This is what we got. And if you've decided you want what we have and you're ready to go to any lengths to get it, and how does he know what lengths they are? He's read the book. He has read the book. He knows exactly what he's supposed to do. What's going to be entailed. Man, I hate buying a car and then 3 months later find out that the prices just went up. Wait a minute, you didn't tell me that when I bought the car. Well, I should have read the contract. Huh? No surprises. It's got to be his decision. Then if he's decided he wants what we have and ready to go to any lengths to get it, what is he going to do? How do we know that? Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't say go to 90 meeting in 90 days.
No.
Doesn't say get a sponsor. Doesn't say keep your mouth shut, I'll do your thinking for you. Doesn't say no sex for the first year. It doesn't say 90 meetings in 90 days. What does it say? It says then you are ready to take certain steps, Morgan. Any questions? You can't have any, can you? Because what have we done?
Read the book.
That's all we've done is just read the directions. I haven't even given you an opinion yet. And if at the end of this sessions I have not given you opinion at all, I have fulfilled my task. I have done what I'm supposed to do. Give you facts so that everybody in this room is armed with facts. No smoke, no mirrors, no opinions. Okay? Okay. So it's his decision, he's decided what he wants. It's his decision and he's ready to go to any lengths to get it. Then it tells him what he's supposed to do, take certain steps, go to 59. Third paragraph down, 59. What does it say? Here are the steps we took. So at the bottom of 58 it says, ready to take certain steps. They alleviate all misnomers and any questions about what steps do they mean. They tell you, here are the steps. Oh, that's that. What steps do you think they mean? These steps. That's exactly right. These steps. These steps. Turn the page. Page 60. Now please read everything in between. We don't have time to read. It's not a big book study. All we're doing is following the directions. There's going to be very few times I will take you outside of the specific directions. Very few times. Second paragraph, third paragraph down. Our description. You with me?
Yeah.
Watch how important it is to read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous if you're going to work the steps out of the big book. If you want to do 1,000 other ways, you do not need this book or pieces of it or parts of it. But if you're going to follow the one way, the directions of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, then it's very important that you read it. It says our description for the alcoholic. What chapter is that in? First four chapters. The chapter to the agnostic. Where's that at? First four chapters. It's very important that you read this. It's very important that you read this. And our... What? I didn't hear you. Were you talking to me? Oh. Oh, it's a woman thing. Somebody get a mirror. So, here we go. What? It was just... It doesn't... If we don't have fun doing this, it's going to get boring, ain't it? It's going to be boring, and I might be some things, but boring I'm not. I might be honest, might not be honest, brave, clean, loyal, reverent, cheerful, or anything else, but I'm funny. A description of the alcoholic, first four chapters. Chapter to the agnostic, first four chapters. Our personal adventures before and after. And Bill Wilson is the very first thing that comes out of the book of Alcoholics Anonymous is a personal adventure. Makes clear three pertinent ideas. Three pertinent ideas. A, that we're alcoholic cannot manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved their alcoholism. C, that God could and would if he were sought. I love California. I love it. Being convinced of what? A, B, and C. If you are convinced of A, B, and C, what step are you on? Whoa! They call this pertinent ideas. Are you telling me that these two steps are ideas? Yep. Yep. How long does it take you to have an idea? I am not saying that his sponsor is wrong. I'm saying that there are 1,001 ways to do it. We're just going to do it this way. I have absolutely no argument with the way anybody else does it. I'm not here to say they're wrong, and I'm not here to say they're right. I'm here to say this is what we're going to do here. So that no matter what you think of me, you are going to be armed with facts. And no one can blow smoke up your... no one can... what? No one can... I don't know how to express that without saying it. No one can hoodwink you. Pull the wool over your eyes anymore. Okay, three pertinent ideas. They're just ideas. Let me ask you this. Do you need to read the first four chapters to be convinced of the three pertinent ideas?
No.
Oh, you'll have those on your own experience. Let's do the three pertinent ideas. A, that we're alcoholic could not manage your own lives. A, that we're alcoholic could not manage your own lives. Alcoholic. Let's go to XXVI. Doctor's opinion. XXVI. Don't lose the page on 60. XXVI. Because this is going to be the premise for everything that we're going to do. This is going to be the foundation for everything we're going to do. You with me on XXVI, first paragraph?
Yes.
We believe, and if so suggested a few years ago, that the action of the alcoholic... What? Did I give the wrong number? XXV? No, I did right. We believe, and if so suggested a few years ago... Now, this is... Who's telling us this?
The doctor.
This is a doctor's opinion. Doctor's opinion. Oh, for the non-believers. What kind of doctor? Podiatrist? Optometrist? Delivers babies? What?
Gynecologist?
Works on your feet? What? Oh, let's go to page XXIII. XXIII. Here's this doctor's credentials. Okay? This is the doctor. He's a well-known doctor. Well... So's Kevorkian, right? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, would I go to Kevorkian for my alcoholic problem? Yeah. But it says here's credentials. He's a chief physician. Now that gives him some credence, don't it? At a nationally prominent hospital specializing in... Now this means he's a specialist. Alcoholic and drug addiction. This guy I would trust. I wouldn't want him to deliver my old lady's baby, but I would trust him with what he says about what?
Alcoholism
and drugs. You with me on this?
Yes.
So here's it. We're on XXVI, so this guy's got credentials. You know he's not some kind of charlatan, not some kind of snake water salesman. This is a big-time shoot-a-dime guy with big-time shoot-a-dime credentials. He says this: we believe, and it's so suggested a few years ago, that the action of the chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy. Now pay real close attention. That the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never, never occurs in the average temperate drinker. If you have ever had, ever once, the phenomenon of craving, what are you?
Alcoholic.
According to who?
The doctor.
Doctor's opinion. And he's a big-time shoot-a-dime guy. Yes, no, maybe.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see what we're trying to say here? We're not giving you no kind of take this on faith. We're not doing faith yet. We will get to faith later on. Right now we're dealing with facts. This doctor says if you've ever had the phenomenon of craving, you are an alcoholic. Let's go back to 60. That we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. Alcoholic. All you got to do is identify just once the phenomenon of craving, that then you fit into what category?
Alcoholic.
If you can see the phenomenon of craving in your life, it's ollie in free from there on in. You do not have to guess from here on in. Yes, I am one of them. Yeah, okay, alcoholic. Hey, what triggers the phenomenon of craving?
Drink.
Just the first drink. Nothing else triggers a phenomenon of drink. Nothing else. The first drink, the drink of alcohol, alcohol and alcohol and alcohol is the only thing that triggers a phenomenon of craving. Nothing else triggers a phenomenon of craving. If I take a drink of alcohol right now, I'm sober 26 years, 9 months and 24 days. If I take a drink of alcohol right now, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to develop the phenomenon of craving. Why? Because I am an alcoholic, and this doctor says that's what happens to alcoholics when they drink. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I think so. I have a sickness, an illness, a malady. Something wrong. An allergy. That when I drink alcohol, I respond. My response to alcohol is the phenomenon of craving. That's my response to alcohol. Anybody here got any allergies?
Yes.
What are you allergic to?
Grass.
Any other allergies? Any other allergies? What happens when you take penicillin? She gets a rash. What happens when you get around grass? Get a rash. Any other allergies? Yeah. Bee stings. What happens when you get around bee stings? Get very sick and die. What are you allergic to? Cats. What happens when you get around cats? The what? Wise, eyes water and you break out in tears. Sounds like a San Diego freeway. She ever drive down a freeway? I've never seen more women cry and drive at the same time. I call it the highway of tears. I want to stop the car, baby. What's the matter? Okay, you have an allergy to penicillin. What is the allergic reaction? You have an allergy to bee stings. What is your allergic reaction? Sick and die. You have an allergy to grass. What's your allergic reaction? You all have alcoholism. What's your allergic reaction?
Phenomenon of craving.
Don't forget that. Very important. A, that you're alcoholic and could not manage your own life. How then can you prove to yourself, if you have any doubt, that you are an alcoholic? Who said that? Take a drink. And you will respond differently than the average temperate drinker. Now I ask you this. Do you really need to take a drink to find that out, or have you taken enough drinks?
Yeah.
Hey, any questions so far? Could not manage your own lives. This can be a little bit difficult. If we were sitting somewhere in Shaker Heights or
Youngstown,
Ohio. No, not there. Or somewhere, San Francisco. But look around where you're at. Have you been managing well?
No.
Okay, we're not going to go further than that. Okay, so you know you cannot safely take a drink of alcohol because you developed a phenomenon of craving, and that means you were an alcoholic. You look around at your surroundings, and that means you could not manage your own life well because you ain't doing so hot. That's as simple as it is. B, that probably no human power could have relieved your alcoholism. Ooh. I'm going to take the test. I'm going to take the test. They're broken. Who cares? We're not going back.
All
right. Fifth of whiskey. Fifth of whiskey. 30 shots of whiskey. 30 shots. How many's in a fifth? That's right. I got some good drinkers in here. I like men who are knowledgeable. 30 shots of whiskey. We're going to take the test to find out we're alcoholic. We're going to take one shot of whiskey a day. Just one shot of whiskey a day for the next month. It's worth the test, ain't it, to find out if you are or are you not. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to take one today and none for the next 7 days and then seven all at once. That doesn't mean we're going to drink all 30 now and then not have none for the next 29 days. No, 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 no. We are going to take a shot of whiskey, boom, before dinner. Like
Like a cocktail,
like an appetizer. Do you think you could do that? Just one. Just one. Why don't you think you can do that? That's book shit. What? Our history. Our history has told us we cannot do that. And if you've read the first four chapters explain in great detail why you cannot do that. 30 shots of whiskey, can't do it. My past has proven I can't do it. It's Saturday night. Let's take the test. Here's what the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says. Start drinking and quit abruptly. The hell's that mean? We're going to be done here at 4. Take your shower. Shave. Put on that stuff. Put on all that stuff that you wear. Put on that gold you've been hiding. Slide into them blue jeans. That thing. And go down to wherever it is you drink. And be there by 8 o'clock. Be there by 8 o'clock. Show up at 8 o'clock. Are you ready? Huh? Man, that stuff on. That gold on. And start drinking. Start drinking. Drink as much as you want. Drink whatever you want. Do whatever you want to do. Shoot the juice. Shoot the pool. Shoot pool. Shuffle puck pool. Play the jukebox. Dance. Do whatever you want. But you're going to have one thought in your mind. I'm going to leave at 11 o'clock and show up for the 11 and show up for the 11 o'clock news. You're going to start drinking and quit abruptly. This is the test. I'm going to start drinking and quit abruptly. I'm going to be home by 11 o'clock. Can you do that? Can you do that? How do you know that? Our past has proven that we cannot do that. Do you agree? No problem at all. I got 30 shots of whiskey sitting in front of me. The second pertinent idea is that no human power could have relieved my alcoholism. I already know that if I take a drink of alcohol, what am I going to get? I'm a phenomenon of craving simply because I'm alcoholic. 30 shots of whiskey in front of me. No human power. Remember this. 30 shots of whiskey. In comes my ma. She just hit the lottery. $15 million. And she's going, because I'm her baby boy, is going to split it right down the middle with me. There's $4 million in two big hefty bags. Here, honey. Can I now safely, not do you want to, can I now safely take the first drink without developing the phenomenon of craving? How do you know that? Our past has taught us that this is true. You with me?
Yeah.
30 shots of whiskey, here I am, 30 shots of whiskey. My brother walks in with the keys to a brand spanking new Lincoln Continental four-door convertible and a tank full of gas. Tank full of gas. And he says, here, brother. It's all yours, free, clear, and paid for. Can I now safely take the first drink of alcohol without developing the phenomenon of craving? How do you know that? Your past has proven to you that you cannot safely take the first drink without developing that phenomenon of craving. Here comes Lonnie Anderson. She's free. She's free now, you know. Yeah. And she likes men with no hair. We know this. We know this. And Lonnie says, sit right here on my lap, big boy. And I'll do anything you want, anytime you want, and I will never leave your side. Can I now safely take the first drink of alcohol and not develop the phenomenon of craving?
No.
How do you know that?
The past.
Your past has proven that. What? What could I give you? Could your mama give you? Could your boss give you? Could your brother give you? Could anybody give you that would enable you to safely take the first drink?
Nothing.
Then there is no human power. Then there is no human power on the face. And intelligently, you're sitting here and saying, that's true. That's true. Yes, I agree. There is nothing on the face of the earth that we could give you that would allow you to safely take the first drink. Yes? No?
Yes.
Watch this. Sitting here at the Dumb Guy Approach Saturday afternoon at 1:35, you know that to be a fact. And I swear to God, a month from now, when you got a minimum wage job, you got that first check, you got a 92 Dodge with ball-headed tires and a broad with no teeth. You forget everything we just talked about and believe now. I'm okay now. I got $110 and a tank of gas and a piece of paper that says I graduated from 10 day. Questions? I know you are. Let me put it to you this way. Let me put it to you very simply. Has there anybody here ever took a shot of whiskey a day in their life? At least one, of course you have. Does that mean you're going to get rid of or not get rid of HIV or you're never going to get it?
No.
No. So if we want to play hypothetical, we can play until we drink again. If we want to do with facts, then we're going to deal with these facts. And I'll tell you, if you work with these steps, and I mean this, the chances of you getting HIV or VIH or any of that other stuff is really, really reduced. I don't mean to be a wise guy, but we can play hypothetical all day long. Let's deal with
facts.
Facts. Any questions about B? Are you convinced about B? If you're convinced of A, then alcoholic cannot manage your own life. B, the problem no human power can ever relieve. Well, C, that God couldn't, would if he were sought. There are two ways. There are two ways that you can become convinced of C. Two of the most popular ways. The first one is to read the first four chapters of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that is the attempt, as we read earlier, to convince you of that. And the second way is, ask any alcoholic who's ever worked the steps what kind of power he has. And he will tell you that God could, and God would, and God has, and I've sought him. Any questions on C? Now we're getting into faith now, aren't we? Now we're getting into faith. And that's going to be the key to our recovery. Faith and facts. Faith and facts. Being convinced, we're now at step three. And that means if you are convinced of these three pertinent ideas, you are now at step three. Now, we're going to do some reading here, which is something I really don't like to do. But the fact of the matter is, there's such a massive, grave misinterpretation about step three, And I unfortunately have perpetuated that by not doing this reading. And it's very important that we do this reading. So let's read it. Because at the very last line of that paragraph, it says this. Just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? So they are going to explain in great detail just what do we mean. Somehow it got to be like God wants me to do this and what is God's will for me. And I was talking to a friend of mine today. She says, I don't know what God's will is for me. I want this guy and he got her and Nancy and I got, and I don't know what God's will is for me. Just what do we mean by that? Just what do we do? Here's what it says. The first requirement. Going into the third step. The third step is nothing more than an idea. Again, once again, an idea. A change of thinking. We are going to have an idea. The first requirement is that being convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. That's what you're asking you to do. Just look at your life or anybody else's life around you and realize that being a self-willed person has not been such a successful idea. Got it? That's all the requirement is. It says, on that basis, now we're going to read, that was the direction we gave you. That was a direction going into third step. Let's read, because I think it's very important you know exactly what we're talking about. It says that on that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. So if you ever get in a collision, with something or somebody, know that you are running your life on self-propulsion. Know that you are doing not what God wants you to do, but what you want you to do. Just know that from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Do not take my word for it. Read the book. Here's what it says. This is us. Very important. Because it says, what do we mean by that? Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show. Do you ever catch yourself trying to dictate to someone what they should do? Even though your motives are good, you are becoming a director. Our job is to be an actor. We're forever trying to arrange things in peoples and players. And if they would only do what we tell them to do, bing, everything would be fine. Everybody would be happy including me. Isn't it strange that the advice we have for so many of our friends also includes a reward for us? You think I don't pay attention? Life would be wonderful. What usually happens is the show doesn't come off. He begins to treat life. He begins to feel that life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself. Now remember, we're talking about a third step and God's will. Our job is not to exert ourselves and force anybody to do anything. Do you understand that? They're giving you that. Just what do we mean? We're on the what do we mean part. Just what do we mean? He becomes angry, indignant, and self-pitying. Understand that if you become angry with someone or something, indignant with someone or something, or self-pitying, you are running your life. It has little to do with the power of God in the sun rays coming down and touching your soul and all that other crap. This is action on our part. Intelligent action. Hardly any faith involved here, is there? Yet. Is it not evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things that we want, and does not his reaction make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can out of the show? Is he not, in his best moment, a producer of confusion rather than harmony? And if you can look at your life and see that we do this, whether it's with your kids, your husband, your wife, your neighbors, your friends, there are some people can walk in and cause everybody to want to shake hands and hug and say, I'm sorry. And there's some people who want to walk in a room and everybody wants a fist fight. The choice is yours. But know this, that when you start with this arguing, when you start with this demanding, we are no longer doing what God wants us to do. We're doing what we want to do. That's all we're reading here. So when it comes to turning our will and life over to the care of God, it's that I am not going to guide you, direct you, force you, argue with you. I will no longer push myself upon anybody here. Does that make sense to you? That's why working these steps are your decision, not mine. My job is to make the information available. Here's what it says. It says this. 62. Selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of your trouble. Now this is at step 3. The trouble that shuts you off from God is selfishness and self-centeredness. That's the root of all your troubles and all your problems. It says, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. And we just read that when they see us being selfish, they want to try to snatch something from the show too. So we're going to stop being this producer of confusion. We're going to stop being that person. And when we see this, selfishness, self-centeredness, fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, we must know that this is not God's will for us. This is causing more harm than good. More selfishness than service. Simple, isn't it? Can you understand what not to do God's will? Quit pushing people around. Quit trying to get shit. Quit trying to take shit. Quit trying to be the boss. Here's what it says. It says that sometimes they hurt us. Now this is where we're going into, we're warming into the fourth step now. We're warming into it. Sometimes they hurt us. And that's going to be our first question in the fourth step. Seemingly without provocation. I didn't do nothing. I don't know why they're so mad. I don't know why she ain't called me. I don't know why they ain't talking to me. I don't know why they're picking on me. I don't know why. Seemingly we have put ourselves in a position. But we invariably find, and this is our inventory, that some amount of time in the past we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position we hurt, to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. And this is in still step 3, is that we want you to understand that when you push people around, when you're selfish, when you're self-centered, you put yourself in a position to be hurt. And when you put yourself in that position, you're no longer serving God, you're serving who?
Yourself.
Yourself. It's as simple as that. This is a lot of reading, a lot more reading than I care to do. But I can't believe how misunderstood this step is. And we're going to spend a lot of time doing it. Here's what it says. It says, they arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Listen to this. Above everything, this is only the third step. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness or it kills us. Why does it kill us? Listen to this. We must, or it kills us, God makes that possible. And there often seems no way entirely to get rid of self without His help. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. Because if we shut off God with selfish and self-centeredness, we are subject to drink. And when we drink for an alcoholic, what do? We die. Oh, not quickly. That's the bad part about it. If we died quickly, 10-day would be a 3-day. We die slowly, very slowly. We didn't get here one day. We worked our way down here, and that's a death in itself. Any questions? Very difficult. This is the first time I've ever done this, but I see the need for it. Is that what does this mean? And what we just described to you, what our running our life means. With what do we do about it? Well, now comes that. So when you catch yourself doing all of these things, selfishness, selfish, running your own life, pushing people around, trying to get something from them, trying to make arrange and get everything done. Anybody here ever been in the penitentiary? What a dumb question. Recently, last 5 years, 10 years, they have phones in the penitentiary now. It's true. It's true. I know you don't believe that. They got phones. And you listen to these guys on the phone. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to call them up and I want you to put the money in the bank. And I don't want you that I am sitting in the penitentiary telling this woman who never broke a law in her life what to do about running her life. Is there something wrong with that picture? And we're the producers of confusion rather than harmony. Does that make sense to you now?
Yes.
Okay. This is the how and the why of it. Now remember that line, because we're documenting everything. Just what do we mean by this? Now here's just what do we do. Here's the just what do we do. This is the how and the why of it. First of all, we, you and I, have to quit playing God. And how do we play God? We just described that, didn't we? We spent 15 minutes of valuable time describing how we play God. Arranging, manipulating, selfish, self-centered, jealousy, suspicion, bitterness, whatever terms we used here. That's how we play God. And now we say we're willing to stop doing that. You got it? It didn't work. Why should we quit playing God? Because it didn't work. Next, after in his drama life, God was going to be our director. What's our job?
Actor.
What's his job?
Director.
That means actors don't direct. We gotta quit giving orders. You got that?
Yes.
That's what they're saying here. It said he is going to be the principal, we're going to be his agent. He's going to tell us what to do, we're going to carry out the directions. And we already know what not to do. To find out what to do, we're going to work the rest of these steps. or hopefully we're going to work the rest of these steps. But what not to do, we already know, don't we? We read that. We already know what not to do. You got to do this. I don't have to do that. Well, you better do. Now, I'm only saying this for your own good. Really? Well, man, get your hand off of me. He is the Father. We are His children. And being such obedient children as we have been in the past, we'll have a tough time with that one, won't we? It's a simple idea, and the concept of this key, this concept of God is going to be God, we're going to be the actor. He's going to be the Father, we're going to be the children. He's going to be the principal, we're going to be the agent. That concept is the new and triumphant arc through which we will pass to freedom. And that's why we spent so much time on this today. Because if you do not have that concept, you have not built this arch. If you do not have this concept, you are not going through to freedom. And any Dago on the face of the earth can tell you what a keystone is. What's the keystone in the arch? It holds the whole thing together. The whole thing is held together by that keystone. Your whole program is held together by step three. Your whole program is held together by God is God and I ain't. Your whole program, your whole 12 steps, your whole life, your whole key to freedom is held together by that I am going to do what God wants me to do instead of my doing what I want. Selfishness and self-centeredness has to go. Any questions? Any questions? Pretty simple now, I hope. Like I said, I never did this before, but I see that I've been neglecting that area. Any questions? Any questions? This is the new and triumphant arch, the keystone to where we're going through. For when we took such position, all sorts of remarkable things happened. Now let's go down 63 to the second paragraph. With those thoughts in mind, the directions are really, here's the directions. The first requirement is being convinced that any life run on itself will can hardly be a success. The second requirement is that we must quit playing God. That's the directions. What we read was equally important only because there's such a misconception in step three that we missed the keystone of freedom. And I don't want that to happen to anybody here. I'd rather have you stand up and say you can kiss my ass, I ain't gonna work these steps. than to have you stand up and say, I don't understand. You might both get drunk, but one is your decision, and the other is my responsibility. Any questions? We are now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him. Squiggly writing. Whenever you see squiggly writing inside the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that means, important, important. If you go to a discussion group and the topic is, God, as you understand him, how many times have you heard people say, well, I don't understand him? The big book says, you better. It says, come up with an understanding. I don't care how dumb, how simple, how stupid, how ignorant, how naive, how childish. I don't care what term you want to use. The important thing is that you have a God as you understand him. I go to work on Monday. Go to work on Monday. Go to work on Monday. Open up my lunchbox. Bang, bologna sandwiches. Go to work on Tuesday. Open up my lunchbox. Bang, bologna sandwiches. Go to work on Wednesday. Open up my lunchbox. Bang, bologna sandwiches. And I say, I hate bologna sandwiches. The Dago sitting next to me says, hey, why don't you have your old lady pack you something else? And I say, I pack my own lunch. I ain't married. What we're saying here is we don't care what goes into your God. It's not our business. It's your business. What is important is that you have a God. I don't care what goes into your lunch. What is important is that you have a lunch. It doesn't matter what your conception or understanding of God is. Universal power, intelligent force, creator. I don't even care because it's your conception of God, God as you understand him. And we're going to pray a prayer. A prayer. Now understand this, the third step is nothing more than an idea. An idea conveyed in a prayer, expressed in a prayer. What's the idea of step three? No! Yes! I am going to quit playing God. He's going to be the principal. I'm going to be the agent. He's going to be the father. I'm going to be the rotten brat kid. That's the idea that we're going to now express in a prayer. You got to have that or you miss the keystone. I'm going to quit playing God. Here's the prayer, which is just an expression of the idea. God, I am going to offer myself to thee. We have an understanding, and we understand that this, we being the boss, ain't been such a good idea. To build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Do whatever you want to do with me. Build whatever you want to be with me. It's not my job, nor not my business. I will do whatever it is you want me to do. We already know for a fact what we ain't going to do, right? That's the big thing. We got a parameter here. We know what we ain't going to do. We ain't going to be selfish. We ain't going to be self-seeking. We ain't going to try to boss the world. We ain't going to call the shots. We ain't going to push nobody around. We ain't going to arrange to play a scenery ballet. We already know that. What are we going to do? The rest of the steps. That's the law. That's the law. Relieve me. Build with me as thou wilt. We're going to ask God to relieve me of the bondage of self so that we can be happy, joyous, and free. Huh? Huh? Yeah. No! No! So that we can better do His will. That's exactly right! We can better do His will. That's our prayer. That's our change of thinking. I'm going to quit doing it my way. I want to do it His way. And if He relieves me of the bondage of self, which is this problem, running my problem, then I can better do what He wants me to do because I'm no longer doing what I want to do. Make sense? You with me? Take away my difficulties. Sears and Roebuck has 10,247 stores in the continental United States. They cannot take away your difficulties. They can fix your lawn mower, but they cannot take away your difficulties. God can, and we're going to ask Him to do this. Take away my difficulties so that now I can be happy, joyous, and free. Right? No! You guys are too sharp for me. So that I can bear witness to those I would help. of thy power, thy love, of thy way of life. And we're making a deal with God. If you take away my difficulties, I will be a living testimony to what'd you say your name was? I'm going to be a living testimony to Morgan that God did this for me. See, God could and would, if he were sought, he's going to know that God did this for me. That's my deal in step three, isn't it? That I am going to serve this power of God. Any questions? Any questions? Yes? Do I see it as a deal? Let me see this. If you take away my difficulties, I will be that victory over them will bear witness that I would help. You take away my difficulties, I will help people. Does that sound like a deal? Sounds like a deal to me. If you give me $2, I'll give you a big whopper. Sounds like a deal to me. Huh? And if I don't give him $2, do I have a right to expect the whopper?
No.
Well, what's the deal? Same thing here. If I don't quit being selfish and self-centered and help other people, do I expect to be happy, joyous, and free, stay sober, and live in love and all that other stuff? If I do, I've got unreasonable expectations. I'm once again being selfish and self-centered, and I'm mom's favorite. You've got to like me too. Oh, women like me because I'm cute. God don't think you're cute. Now, here's what it says. It says, thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. And here's what we want to do. We want to do as we'll always, and we already know what we're not going to do, right? Very important. The keystone to the archway of freedom. We're not going to be selfish. We're not going to be self-centered. We're not going to manage, direct, or give orders. Got it? Any questions before we go on? Because we're getting heavy now. Now this is probably the heaviest part of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Heavy. Capital H. Okay, here's the next line. We thought well. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready. And they're not telling you to rush into this like a fool. They're not telling you to listen to somebody else. They're telling you to what? Think well. They're telling you to think it over. Are you ready to do this? Are you ready to let God run your life? If you're not, please. Get out of the chair, go down the street, and run your own life the way you want to run it. And if you can stay sober and Lindy happy in your heart, God bless you. I ain't got no problem with that. But if you can't, then you better think well. Because here's the solution out of this book. It says, think well. Make sure that you are ready before taking this step. The last, abandon yourself utterly to God. What do we know for sure you're not supposed to do at this point? Selfish, self-centered, bossy, giving orders, making demands, manipulating people. That we know for sure, yes? What's to come after that will only be revealed in step 10 and 11. It will only be revealed in step 10 and 11. What's my job as a sponsor? Help you out. Offer to do 3 and 5. Here's what it says. We found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person. I, who have had the experience of the steps, have offered to do this with Morgan. This big book says you should do this with somebody, such as your wife, your best friend, or your spiritual advisor. Show me sponsor. I like that better. Best friend. But the choice is yours. It is better to meet God alone than with someone who might misunderstand. But as Morgan's sponsor, I have already offered to do this for him and with him. But it's his choice whether he does it with me or not. Yes? No?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The wording, of course, was optional. Voicing it, made effect, sometimes a great one was felt. Okay, now we're done with step 3. Watch this. How long has it taken us? How long has it taken us to get to step 3? An hour and 5 minutes. We spent 5 minutes giving directions. 5 minutes giving guidelines, rules at a clubhouse. I ain't God. I'm a drunk. That's the rules at a clubhouse. Don't quote me. I make mistakes. I'm just a human being. I'm working. That's the rules. 5 minutes. It took us 1 hour. Can you believe that? How long are you sober? If you are convinced of three pertinent ideas, and if you are convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success, and if you are convinced that you no longer want to play God, the question I have for you is this. Can you now do the third step?
Yes.
Is there anybody here who wants to do the third step? Let's do it. I know no more understanding people than the people in this room. We got the third step in front of us, honey. And if you ain't convinced and don't want to do it, don't do it. Go ahead, baby. Read it right out of the book. You ain't got no book? Read it right out of the book. 63. Do the prayer. God. God, I offer myself to Thee to do with me and build with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Amen.
Amen.
All right! If you feel it, I don't care if you feel it or not. The point is that we have followed the directions to a T, and that means we will get results whether we feel it or whether we understand it. We're doing the directions. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Any questions?
No.
All right. Let's get rid of the smoke and mirrors. Now that we're done with step three, how long do we wait before we go to step four?
At least a year.
At least a year? Have you ever heard that one? At least a year?
No.
I've heard that. I've heard that a million times. Wait a year before you do your fourth step. Stay on the first step for 6 months. Stay on. Oh, we already discovered this, ain't it? It's always your decision, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always your decision. 6 days. 6 days. What's your name? Judy? What a pretty name, Judy. 6 days, you have just done step three. You ever been to AA before? I bet. More than once? More than twice? More than three times? More than six times? Breaks my heart. She should have had this done in her first time she come here and done 6 days. You ever done this before? We're killing our own. Don't get ahead of me, Tony. Don't start pushing me around. Start pushing me around. Turn the page, page 64. Huh? 64, top of the page. Judy, do you feel it? Can you feel it? It doesn't matter if you do or not. You are doing an intelligent approach to your recovery. It's not shoot in the dark and let's hope we hit something. We ain't doing that. We ain't shooting craps with our lives. Not me. Not me. Though our decision, what decision?
My decision.
Nothing more than a decision. There's no action to the third step except a change of thinking and an expression of that thinking in a prayer. That's as fast as it is. We did that in an hour. Though our decision was a vital, remember what I told you, it's the key to everything, vital and crucial. That's how important step three is. Vital and crucial step. It would have little permanent effect unless at once, followed by a strenuous effort to face and get rid of the things which are blocking us from this power of God, the sunlight of the Spirit. Alcohol is but a symptom of the problem. Let's get down to causes and conditions. How long after we do step three, Juju, do we do step four? At once. Say at once.
At once.
Yes! I ain't making none of this up, am I?
No.
All we're doing is reading the big book, ain't it?
Facts.
It's facts. I ain't making any of this up. And now, questions. Okay. So that means at once we are going to get in to step four. At once means right now. Right now. Is that it? That's all there is to it. If anybody in this room has knelt down and prayed a third step prayer and is convinced of the things that we talked about, your job now is to do step four. That's all there is to it. Step four is this, a personal inventory. A personal inventory. It can get difficult. It can get funny. It can get confusing. And we're going to get rid of all of those things that we just talked about. Because here's the directions. Third paragraph down. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. You got it? You with me? We took stock honestly. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take stock honestly. We're going to search out the flaws in our makeup which caused us failure. Being convinced that self, now we've already discussed that, we've seen that, we know where self comes in, us trying to manage and push and get our own way. We already made a deal with God, we ain't going to do that no more. We made a deal with God, we're going to serve Him. Yes, no?
Yes.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. Being convinced that self very manifested in various ways is what has defeated us. We're going to consider its common manifestations. Now remember this, that self has got a lot of manifestations. The first manifestation we're going to deal with is resentment. It's the number one offender, destroys more alcoholics than anything else. Please understand this. It's not the only manifestation that destroys alcoholics. And by no means is it the only one we're going to look at. But it says that there are three areas of our life we're going to look at. Sexual conduct, we're going to look at fear, we're going to look at resentment. And we do resentment because it knocks more people out of the box than anything else. And that's what it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We covered step three, we're going into step four. Any questions? Any questions on what we've covered so far? Any questions? Any questions? Okay. Simple?
Simple?
Not too difficult, certainly. No, not too confusing, certainly.
No.
Fourth step. Fourth step, three areas of our lives are covered. Three areas of our lives are covered. Sexual conduct, fear, and resentment. The three areas of our lives that shed out the sunlight of the Spirit. The three areas of our lives that allow us to continue to hurt other people. The three areas of our lives that allow us to continue to be hurt. Placing ourselves into a position to be hurt. We're going to address these three areas. Sexual conduct, fear, and resentment. For right now, watch this. You're going to love this. For right now, we're not going to do sex. Yeah, watch this. It's where we're going to get even dumber, guy. We're not going to do fear. For right now, we're going to do resentments. There are four or five columns, depending on how you look at it. In resentment, we're not going to do the last four columns. Last four columns of resentment. What are we going to do? First column. Why? Why? We're going to ask the Pollock. Why, Melody? Why? You got an apple back there? Are there any apples? He's there. He got it. You got an apple? Okay. Apple. Orange? I'll take it. Anything you got? Oh, I'd love a cup of coffee. Put some cream in there for me, will you? Just one. Okay. We have an orange. What would you say? If I was to give this orange to this little girl? What's your name?
Felicia.
If I was to give this orange to Felicia, and Felicia was to go like this, what would you say to Felicia? That's why I like an apple. What would you say? One bite at a time, Felicia. Don't try to jam it in all at once. We don't even want you to look at anything else except the first bite, the first column, the first set of directions. Because sometimes it gets so scary it consumes you. Here, Felicia. Here's the first set of directions. Resentment is the number one offender. From it stems all forms of spiritual diseases. Now let's get into some real clear-cut stuff here. We not only have been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. And here's what it says. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So what we are doing in these 12 steps are spiritual matters. We're attempting to straighten out spiritually. And I solemnly assure you, the longer you take to work these steps, the longer you stay crooked. That makes sense, don't it? That ain't even tough. That's what we just read. If you straighten out spiritually, you're going to straighten out the other one. It says we list people, institution, or principles with whom we are angry. Now let's keep this in mind, that this is called resentment. I'm not sure if you know what a resentment is. And the reason I say that is because I know I didn't know what a resentment was. They said this to me, these intelligent people. Well, resentment comes from a Latin term. Well, that helps me. E pluribus unum resentitoris hemorrhoides. Oh, well, that makes it clear now. What it says is, it says this. In dealing with resentments, we set them down on paper. Automatically, we know we're going to need a few things.
Pencil.
Paper.
Okay. We set them down on paper.
In anger.
We were with principals, institutions with whom we were angry. So if you do not know what a resentment is, you sure as hell know what anger is, huh? Who are you angry at? Isn't that the question they're asking?
Yeah.
That's all they're asking you. How about this one? How about this one? We're hurt. You understand that? How about threatened? How about sore? How about burned up? These are all the descriptions for the first column of the resentment inventory. Any questions? Hardly any at all. Anybody's first name begins with mother, put them on the list. Yes. Here's what it says. We went back through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. Bottom of the page is 65. Okay? Go back through your life. Nothing counts but thoroughness and honesty. That's all we want you to do. Has anybody ever hurt you? Has anybody ever burned you up, made you mad, threatened you, made you sore, made you angry? That's all we're looking for. Does that make sense? Okay. That's a dumb guy, ain't it? That's a dumb guy. My dad hurt me so bad when I was little because he wouldn't get me a three-wheeler. Are you still mad about that? Well, write that down, or don't write it down. Remember this, it's your inventory. No one is going to grade your paper. Does that make sense? And I'll give you this, there's no wrong answer. Easy task, piece of cake. So, our first column is, who are you mad at? Make me a list in the air, a shopping list, shopping list. Read it off. Give me a shopping list.
Groceries?
Yeah. Yeah.
Milk.
Bread.
Butter.
Chocolate cake. What do we notice? It's going down. That's exactly right. Notice that we are listing. We are listing. That's all we're doing is we're listing. Got it?
Yeah.
Who are you mad at? Who are you mad at?
My dad.
Dad. Who are you mad at?
Mom.
Ex. Who are you mad? Judge. Cops. If you ain't mad at the cops, I'd be happy to know that one.
The bartender.
Cops. IRS. Bartender.
Boss.
Dealer. Scout, Girl Scouts, what'd you say? Any questions? Any questions? And the Girl Scout too, no doubt. Any questions? We're done. That's it. First column's done. We are 1/5 done with our inventory. Hey, that ain't too bad. Hey, what the hell? I can do that. Yes? No?
Yes.
Sure. What real men do is when I ask real men who they're mad at, we're doing an inventory. Hey, mad at nobody. Really? Really? You know, your ex-wife's coming to spend the weekend with me. Put her down! Put her down! Because of our coach, remember, nothing counts but thoroughness and honesty. This is your program, this is your inventory, and it is also your recovery. Just keep that in mind. Don't blow any smoke up your own ass. Let's say we got 25 names. Done?
Yeah.
What's the next column? Cause. What'd your dad do to you?
Left.
What'd you say? Hold it. Hold on. What did you say? What did you say? Oh, I thought you said pissed you off. If I write down, rip me off, how thorough am I?
Not thorough at all.
Not thorough at all. You did good. You did good. That's exactly what people write down. I'm mad at my ma because. That's all. Not, no. Mad at your dad because he left you. Left you. What else did he do? Beat me. Beat me. Beat me. Beat your ma. Beat your ma. What else did he do? Oh, man. We got a problem now, don't we? What's the problem? Out of paper. We're out of paper. We got a line here. Oh, no. Here's what I did. I can't do this shit. Swear to God. I swear to God, no one gave me what I'm giving you. I have 25 names. Got it? This is America. We have absolutely no shortage of paper in America. Take one piece of paper and put one name at the top. This is very dumb guy. Very dumb guy. My dad. And cause. Now I have all kinds of paper, because people been stepping on me since I've been little. But they ain't stepped on me since I got big enough to step on them. Real He-Man, I love that. Any questions? Now we got plenty of room, right? Want to know the best part about the first column? It's a no-brainer. Takes absolutely no brains. We don't have to figure nothing out. We're taking it from here and putting it here. That's the nicest part about the first column. No brains involved. Quite possibly, if you've ever done time, you've already told everybody in prison that you could talk to about them. Them no good, they're rotten, they're dirty, the judge, that mother, the IRS, is at, or in sitting in these jitter joints here, you do the very same thing. Yes, no? Okay. No brainer. Second column, cause, very same thing. It's a no brainer. You already know what they did to you, ain't it?
Yeah,
all we're doing is taking it from here and putting it here. We're going to write down all of the things that they did to us. Any questions? No brainer. Now, we don't give a shit. Here's what a lot of people do. Well, I ain't mad at them anymore. Or I did more to them than they did to me. I don't care. That's not the point. The point is we just want you to write that down. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, third column. What's the third column? Affects my. Now we got to use the old bean box. Now we got to do some thinking, but we got to come up with two and two to make